Okay, let's go back again, if we can, about the search for bin Laden. Robert, I think we agree that, you know, had we hired some mercenaries right after 9/11, we might have taken some of the pain away from what's been going on now.
Well, we actually did hire mercenaries. The Northern Alliance was essentially a proxy army, and but they were a legitimate resistance to the Taliban. We actually had to create what we call an Eastern Alliance around the Tora Bora area. And what happened was, when you hire Afghan mercenaries, you can also hire them the other way. And what happened is that bin Laden paid them more money than we did. So the mistake was not hiring Western mercenaries or Western people on the ground. We had some contractors. Remember in the book, Billy Waugh was there looking for bin Laden. But we didn't have enough people to really seal off that area. And we had hired Afghans to try to do that. But, of course, they just looked the other way.
Do you believe he truly was hiding away there at Tora Bora?
Well, he wasn't hiding. I mean, that's one of the myths of the war, that bin Laden hides. I mean, I was down the street from bin Laden in 96. He used to drive up and down the road with his little posse, you know.
What kind of car was he in?
Well, he drives, at that time they were driving Toyota Hiluxes, and he would always be in a Land Cruiser, which is a, you know, for there it's a luxury car. When he was moving around during the war, he was driving in a sort of a yellow taxi, sort of a Toyota-type taxi. And he had the same posse, you know, with Toyota Hilux, which is basically a four-door Toyota pickup truck. And he decided to hoof it over the mountains. When I say hoof it, he rode a horse into a place called Parchinar, which is on the Pakistani side, and that's how the parrots speak.
Yeah, we could take that area out, couldn't we?
Well, I wasn't planning the war. I was in the war, but I wasn't planning it. But the bottom line is that there were people on the ground. I was with General Dostum, who'd fought in that area and knew that region. And he knew that you don't go into a region and hire the local people to fight a war against somebody who's more powerful from them, because they'll get their butts kicked afterwards.
That's right.
So he offered to send his people in to go get bin Laden. They were Uzbeks, which is a different ethnicity than the Tajiks and the Pashtuns there. But there's two things going on. One is just money. You can buy Afghan warlords. And the second thing is they actually have allegiance to bin Laden, because they remember bin Laden from the 80s when they fought against the Russians.
And he was our friend.
Yeah, well, he was the Saudis' friend. Bin Laden never liked us. I mean, he worked with Abdullah Azzam, basically signing up volunteers that came with Saudi money. He never took any of our money, never worked with the CIA. In my book, there's sort of a funny chapter about my time with an old guy that used to work with bin Laden. And he used to complain that bin Laden only worked on Fridays, and that he would only work for certain fundamentalist groups. And this guy had all these rockets that the Pakistanis gave him to take over to fire against the Russians, but bin Laden wouldn't transport them. So, I mean, those that worked with him have less, they're less impressed with him than we are.
Do you believe, Robert, that bin Laden is truly involved in all of this, or do you think he's just a front man or a patsy for whatever else might be happening?
Well, there are a large number of people who are actively plotting against Western governments, either for criminal or political or ethnic or religious reasons. Bin Laden, I think, rose to prominence because he definitely had the most wealth and he had the most experience inside Afghanistan. In other words, he had a little black book with a lot of sort of old boy networks.
Yeah.
He gathered people around him, and he was basically a facilitator. So if some people came to him and said, hey, we got this idea, we can blow up this ship, we can blow up this building, we can do this or that, he would say, okay, well, let me put you in touch with this guy who'll be a middleman, the money guy, like whether it's Muhammad Atta or, Ramzi
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Right. I mean, all these people are basically middlemen that bin Laden said, here, you talk to this guy. And this is all nickel and dime stuff, by the way. The entire, 9/11 attack is supposed to cost about $400,000, $500,000, and they actually sent money back before they blew themselves up. So it doesn't take that much to fund a bunch of wacky guys that want to blow something up. But we have focused on that because, obviously, he targeted American facilities, American ships, whatever. But if you actually do what I do, I travel around the world and I look at all these terrorist groups attacking all these other targets, he's not the biggest player by any means.
He's not?
No. Iran has done more to damage the United States in terms of funding attacks. I mean, you remember back when we were in Lebanon, Mm-hmm. They blew up the Marine barracks and they killed the CIA station chief. I mean, that's the real deal. I mean, that's an actual military attack on a country that makes them leave that region. So we always look at bin Laden as the enemy, but when you look at any sort of military victory or any sort of military threat in which he could then occupy an area or destroy a certain amount of equipment, he doesn't really have that power. What we do is what he did to the Russians, they bleed to death. We go into an area that costs us billions of dollars to stay there, and when we lose 2, 3, 4, or 5 troops, you know, every week or 2 weeks, and that saps our morale and drains our bank account.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the amount of money we've spent in Iraq now is absolutely astounding. I remember when George Bush asked for his first $85 billion to get this done, and I knew it was going to go higher, and there seems to be no end in sight.
Well, it's also money that's going back into our pocket. A lot of people forget, when we drop a bomb, there's $2,000 gone. Well, that goes, when the new bomb's made, that goes to an American corporation that manufactures that bomb. When we hire Halliburton to basically send Baskin and Robbins ice cream to Baghdad.
For $1 billion.
per scoop. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's all money that's going into American pockets. And so it's this bizarre way of sort of borrowing money to inflate the military-industrial complex. So to me, it's fascinating to watch, because when you look at what actually hits the ground, you know, in Iraq, what sticks to the Iraqis' pockets or helps them out, it's very little.
Why didn't we use these mercenaries to take out Saddam Hussein? Why did we have to commit 140,000 troops?
Well, here's the thing. You know, what's new is old again and vice versa. We did. We had one of the most robust CIA operations inside Iraq for 10 years between the two wars. We were training. You remember Bob Bauer and his books, you know?
Yeah.
We were training the Kurds to overthrow Saddam. We were training the Shia to rise up and overthrow Saddam. We did have mercenaries. We did have a very robust intelligence.
What went wrong?
Well, we screwed it up.
Again?
We were infiltrated, and what's even sadder, because I've been to many of the mass graves, we told the Shia in the south that as soon as we attack, you guys rise up and do this and do that back in 91, and we didn't. And they were slaughtered by the thousands, if not the hundreds of thousands.